Welcome to the Global Missions Podcast, a show for Christ followers who want to participate more effectively in God's work, both at home and to the ends of the earth. Visit us at globalmissionspodcast.com to find show notes, resources, and previous episodes. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by the Global Missions Toolbox, a new online collection of practical, trusted resources made for those who support global missions from home. Visit us online at globalmissionstoolbox.com to register for access to this growing collection of tools for senders. And now, here's your host, Rob Magwood, better known to many friends as Mags.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Global Missions Podcast. I'm here again today with our co-host, Maddie DeSmit. Hi, Maddie.
Hello. Hello to all our listeners. Thanks for being here for another episode of the podcast.
We have a topic today that is both important and relevant if we want to support long-term mission workers. Of course, many of us do. This idea has popped up in many other episodes as well, even this season. We are talking today about developing resilience in mission servants.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a good conversation. And just before we get to this conversation with Ken, we'd like to tell you about our sponsor for this episode. We're thankful for Shepherd Staff, who has generously sponsored this episode. They are an organization that coaches churches to send and care for their own members who are called to serve in missions. So they serve the church with a vision of equipping missionaries for greater effectiveness.
And this fits exactly with our priorities here at the Global Missions Toolbox and the podcast. We believe that the church's involvement in sending is so important. And Shepherd Staff is an organization ready to walk alongside your church as you seek to serve faithfully.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And they even have the ability to help your church with important administrative needs in areas such as health insurance or retirement plans and donation processing. So you can learn more about Shepherd Staff and reach out to their team at ssmfi.org. So thank you again to Shepherd Staff for sponsoring this episode. And now let's get into today's conversation with Ken.
Our guest today is Ken Gunther, who serves as the Director of International Services for Send International. Ken, together with his wife Bertha, are faithful long-term servants who have crossed cultures for three decades now. Ken, it's quite a career in missions.
It has been.
I was first acquainted with Ken when he was serving in the Philippines. He has since also served in Russia and Ukraine, visited many, many places. But I was a short-term missionary back in those days, and Ken was a church planter leading the team. Praise the Lord. And Ken, thanks for your example of faithful service together with Bertha over these years.
That's been a long time ago. Appreciate having been able to walk with you through this.
Well, we have a topic before us today that Ken is well qualified to address, in part because of his longevity. Ken oversees Send International's training department and also coordinates lifelong learning resources for servants around the world. I think this is one of the jewels inside Send International. Yes, it's my organization, but we're so thankful to have Send You. Ken organizes that and leads that. He also gives a lot of time to mentoring and coaching emerging leaders, many of them younger as well. And so he's well positioned to talk with us today about resilience in global missions and how we can cultivate that, observe it, and head toward it in healthy ways. This is not the first time Ken has been on the program. It was back in episode 77 when Ken spoke with us about what is success in missions. And I went back, Ken, earlier today, and I listened through that whole episode, and I really want to commend it again to our audience. This is a topic that we will all wrestle with at some point, and it really would be worthwhile if you're thinking, how do we measure success? How do we help our workers be successful? And what does success even mean in missions? That's a great episode. So that's Ken Gunther and episode 77. Ken, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Megs. I'm delighted to be here.
Because Ken and I are fellow Canadians and we serve in the same agency, I know that Ken is both a reader and a writer. Ken, you've recently authored several articles on the Send You blog about resilience. Just start us off. We'll have links in the show notes to those actual posts, but just share with us a bit, when and how has this topic of resilience become so bright on your radar?
Well, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and as SEND has been focusing its attention primarily on engaging unreached people groups, we've increasingly recognized that in order to really make breakthroughs among those unreached people groups, we need resilient people who are there for the long term. Actually, I'm going to refer back to an episode a few months ago by Dick Brogdon, where he talked about the importance of resilience. And he said at that point, it takes 10 years to gain traction among an unreached people group. And that definitely means that we need people to be able to hang in there for the long haul in order to be able to make those inroads into places where the gospel has not yet been heard.
Well, regular listeners will know that we're in favor of both short-term, medium-term, and long-term missions, acknowledging that some of the cross-cultural elements of incarnational ministry and being like and relating to people include elements such as language learning. That's probably one of the bright ones we could reference. And it's not easy to learn a language in just a few weeks in short-term missions. And that's just one simple example where it's going to take a long time. And during that long time, undoubtedly, the winds are going to blow, the winds of difficulty and change and frustration. Ken has organized four key ideas for us today. I do have them, of course, on my list here, but I'm just going to let you introduce them to us, Ken, and then let's dialogue a little around them. What's the first big idea you'd like to discuss regarding resilience?
It's pretty simple. I believe that God wants to develop resilience in cross-cultural workers. Yes, it is a trait that we should be looking for in those who are applying, who want to go overseas, who want to work cross-culturally. But no one has all the resilience they need at the front end, at the beginning of the journey. Resiliency wanes if it's not intentionally nurtured. And I believe that God is in the business of continually developing that resilience in his children. And that's particularly true for those who are called to be going into other cultures to be his ambassadors of reconciliation.
I definitely would like to talk more about the developing of resilience. Maybe, though, we could start early in a missionary's prospective career and say, you know, to the sending community, to a home church that sees an individual or a couple potential as cross-cultural workers, what are we looking for to observe resilience? What does it look like?
And that's really a difficult question because, on the one hand, younger people who are typically interested in giving their lives to serve cross-culturally, just haven't had a lot of opportunity to develop or demonstrate long-term resilience in a particular field. And they probably have had several different jobs. And yet, I think that we, as those who are watching them and looking for signs that God is truly preparing them, we should be looking for things like, do they give up easily? Do they quickly switch to something else? We might be talking about jobs, ministries in the church, educational pursuits. And of course, we should also think about relational difficulties. Have they worked through relational difficulties or just run away from problems? So that's, we do need to be looking for that resilience in, even in our younger people.
I've sometimes thought of resilience as in the Philippines where you served, I saw the winds blow there during a typhoon. And those trees, they would bend, but they didn't break. And then when the storm passed, they would come back. They would stand tall again. They would stand straight. And I kind of have that. Does that fit well? And when we think of resilience, does that fit with the way you're defining resilience for a cross-cultural worker?
It does, although I think we should go further than just thinking about bouncing back. When we're talking about resilience, we should also be including the idea of bouncing forward. Resilience is God's way of preparing us for other things that he wants in our lives. So we should not just come back, return to where we were before, recover to that same level of competency, but actually have learned some new things that might make us even more effective for other things that God might have for us.
So the main point that you have is God wants to develop resilience in cross-cultural workers. Some of that will take place and we can observe it to a measure, but that's going to be a continuing process or process for my friends in the United States. Most of our audience is comprised of senders, Ken. who are going to serve in churches and help support workers. What are some things that senders need to keep in mind when we consider this idea that God wants to develop resilience in our cross-cultural workers?
Yeah, that's a great question. Recognize that resilience can be learned. And I think you should be expecting that God is going to be teaching your missionaries to persevere. I think perseverance is actually the biblical word for resilience. And perseverance is not learned by reading books or by going to school. It's learned in the midst of the stresses of life. And so when people go through the hard times on the mission field in cross-cultural settings, look for how God is developing that resilience. Celebrate it. Don't just commiserate with the difficulties they're experiencing, but celebrate their own endurance, their perseverance, their resilience in the face of those difficulties. And acknowledge that, yes, it's been hard, but God has been doing something in them to make them stronger.
Boy, that's important. I think that perseverance is not something you can learn from a book. That is... it's just a great, it's not a theoretical thing. It will be worked out and it will be grown that way. And God is purposeful in that. It wasn't too long ago, actually, that we had an interview, and I just can't remember which episode it was, but we talked about how senders sometimes, with good intentions, would create an exit path for a cross-cultural worker facing a hard time. And the caution of our guest was, please, as the sending church, as those who love that missionary or that missionary family, don't create the out too soon. Now, there are going to be, I just got to qualify this. There are going to be situations where we need to move and we need to help. We need to relieve people or get them out of danger. You know, that needs to be considered. But sometimes we say, ooh, this is hard. It's uncomfortable. Let's get out from under it. And I think what you're saying is something different. Don't hasten or don't rush there too quickly.
Right. Yeah. Very much so.
Okay. So the first idea, God wants to develop resilience in cross-cultural workers. What's the second big idea, Ken?
It's not a popular word, but I believe that God's method for building resilience is suffering. And of course, here we're not just talking about overt opposition and persecution, but all the different things that cross-cultural workers can deal with. Times of discouragement. I remember a significant period of discouragement that I went through a number of years ago when I was in Russia, where for months on end, I was thinking about how I could resign. Relational problems with team members can be one of the suffering or one of the things that God has put into people's lives. Having to move to different houses multiple times in the space of a few years. Educational issues with our children. Health concerns. All of these are different ways that God has, ways that God is seeking to develop the resilience that we need. The scriptures are clear. Suffering produces perseverance. Romans chapter 5 tells us that. James chapter 1, same thing, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. This is humbling for me, Mags, because, you know, I lead our pre-field training, and I would love to be able to say that great pre-field training provides, develops the resilience that people need. But I recognize that is a part of it, but that's not the whole picture. And when I look at scripture, it's actually hardship and suffering that God is using to develop perseverance in us.
Well, acknowledging that it's biblical and suffering and difficulty is one of God's tools to develop resilience, how can senders be alongside and help missionaries rightly through those difficult times? What advice do you have for the senders here?
I believe that suffering has to be processed in order for it to bear the fruit of resilience. Difficult life circumstances in themselves do not refine us. Our response to these, as we could call them, crucible experiences, is what allows the crucible to become transformative in our lives. And so, as senders, we need to make sure that our missionaries are given an opportunity to debrief the hard times in their lives. That might be on the field by having a coach or a mentor walk them through that. It might actually be traveling someplace to spend a week or so in a debriefing session. It might mean meeting with a spiritual director. It might even be a member of your missions committee traveling out there and spending some time with them on a visit, just asking them questions about how they've dealt with this and what they've learned from it and how God has been using it to develop this resilience in their life. Of course, we also need to be encouraging them to be developing disciplines in their lives that will give them the opportunity to listen to God during those hard times. We as senders and all the people who have the expertise to do the debriefing and coaching are critical factors, but in the end, they also need to have those personal disciplines, spiritual disciplines that will open their hearts and minds to what God might want to say to them in this process.
It's laying a healthy framework, in other words, that gives them the best probability, the best footing with which to go through those difficult times. And it's in advance, too. This is something that can be cultivated. And I would submit this is, you use the word disciplines, it implies the ongoing disciplines, because you don't know when that difficulty is coming necessarily. And often it comes unexpectedly. The other thing that Ken mentioned there, it reminds me of another episode that we had with Melissa Chapman, Ken. I was looking across my shelf. I just don't have her book here at the moment, but we did an interview with Melissa as well, and she has some material that equips you in home churches, in sending churches, to provide a really thoughtful debriefing experience for your missionaries. I would want to add, if there's been a particular crisis or emergency, sometimes there's going to be some special helps that are going to be valid to encourage some counseling or, you know, from a professional source. But very often, God's people in the body of Christ with a bit of equipping could really be thoughtful encouragement, and encourage you to check that episode out. We'll put it in the show notes later, a wonderful resource to help you prepare at your church to provide good debriefs. Well, these first two ideas, God wants to develop resilience in cross-cultural workers, and suffering is one of God's methods for building resilience. Those are the first two ideas. In just a moment, Ken and I will talk about two more ideas about resilience. Before we get to that part of our conversation, we'd like to share with you this tool that we hope will be helpful to you and your church.
Today's featured tool has been contributed by our sponsor for this episode, Shepherd Staff, and it dives into the important topic that Ken has already mentioned, missionary debriefing. This article about the four quadrants of missionary debriefing helps churches to define debriefing, determine its goal, and adjust how it might look in different circumstances. We hope you will check out this helpful article at our website, globalmissionstoolbox.com, or by clicking the link in the show notes for this episode.
We're back with Ken Gunther, the Director of International Services for Send International. Ken, what's the third big idea you'd like to share with us today?
Well, it builds on the last one, and that idea is that resilience is more easily developed in a supportive community. I look at biblical examples. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, does not go alone. He invites three of his closest disciples to walk with him, to pray with him. Elijah, when he's in that great time of discouragement and despair, he's given a companion in Elisha as part of the remedy for his discouragement. And in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, is so much seeking to help prepare people who are discouraged and are thinking of giving up their faith. It tells them, do not give up meeting together, but encourage one another. And so I believe that we need to make sure that we don't try to develop our resilience just on our own. We've seen this actually in Ukraine. As Mags knows, I served in Ukraine for many years, and we've been watching what's been happening since the war broke out. And we've actually seen something that we could call collective resilience, where the people of Ukraine are actually more resilient because they're gathering together. They've been actually gathering in local churches, first of all, because as in the winter, at least, they were gathering there for warmth. They were coming there to charge their devices, but they were also gathering to gain strength and new perspectives in a time of crisis in their lives. And together, they were more resilient than they would have been if they had just stayed in their homes. I believe the same is true for us as cross-cultural missionaries. We need that collective, that community to help us strengthen our, develop our resilience.
Ken, I wonder, just as we have some goers who listen to this conversation, can that community come only from like culture, or can the community come from cross-cultural as well? For folks who are newer in a context, is it only missionaries they can have that community with, or?
No, we want it. I believe it's far healthier if you establish community with both those who are from your own same culture as well as those who are from other cultures. People in your neighborhood, people from who are in your church, people who are serving with another organization in your area but don't come from the same country as you are. Your community can be much bigger than just the people that have joined the same mission organization as you have.
I appreciate just probing that a little bit with you, because our natural tendency might be to think, well, I can't draw community, I can't draw support and resilience from this new group. I recede to only those people that I know and understand in my same culture.
But as your language abilities grow, you will find that you will be able to develop friendships, and friendships can be community, regardless of what culture they come from.
Yeah, deep riches there. Let's turn to our senders again then, and this helpful element of community. How can senders help with this idea of building up a healthy community?
Well, I would encourage our senders to ask their missionaries about community. I remember someone from one of our churches coming to visit us in Ukraine, and one of the very first questions they asked me, "Are you lonely?" Thought that was kind of a strange question, but I now see it as a very appropriate question. Who is your community? Are you developing friends in the community around you? Do you have local church friends? And what are you intentionally doing to develop friendships and supportive relationships in the place where God has called you?
I know at times you have mentioned and advocated for going to your missionary. Can you comment on that too? Still think that's a valuable idea to go and see them?
Oh, definitely. At the same time, I guess we should qualify that by saying that we need to make sure that our missionaries are not depending solely on connections back home, that they have a community there locally. There's much we can do from overseas, either through video calls or actual physical visits, but we don't want them to have all of their community rooted in their church back home.
I think it's fair to say, Ken, back in the day, so to speak, when we mentioned the Philippines, for example, it was very expensive even just to have a simple phone call to call home. And so as a result, maybe we were more naturally pressed to integrate with our adopted communities, as opposed to now where it's so easy and you just grab your phone and call home literally or video call or whatever. I think this is really good for our senders to hear this. Yes, you can be supportive, but what Ken is saying is encourage that rootedness in the adopted location as well. And relationships, Ken, you've already mentioned that too, but just encouraging people to address those relational issues. It's one of the number one reasons that people return home from the mission field. It's not the problem on the field. It's relationships, often even other mission workers.
And as a sending church, it is very tempting to just take the side of our missionary and conclude, oh, their co-workers must be real jerks, so let's just get them home or get them to go someplace else. There's probably another side to the whole story, and don't let them walk away without really working hard to find reconciliation. It may mean talking to their field leader or to someone in field leadership to understand the context more fully and to encourage your missionary to take the hard steps to find that reconciliation. I think that's really helpful to strengthen that community. We all go through rough times, but that community can be established even after some of those difficult relational questions.
Really wise. Thank you. Well, that's three big ideas. Ken, you've got one left. What's the last big idea you'll share with us today?
I'm committed to lifelong learning, and I believe that resilience is all about continuing to learn. It's about adapting to stress and learning from our mistakes. Sometimes we might get the impression that resilience is about stubbornness, staying immovable, fixed in one place. And that's not at all what true resilience is. I don't believe that's what the biblical concept of perseverance is. It's going through suffering and hardship, but it's learning from it and then becoming stronger and more equipped after the stress or the crisis that we've gone through.
That really takes discernment, hey? Ken, it comes back to the disciplines of walking closely with God and Dick Brogdon, extravagant time with Jesus, so we know the mind of God and the mind of Jesus. When is it right to stay and persevere? And when is it wise to press on? Is this God's direction? The disciplines will be so important. I just wonder, do you have any examples that you might draw on to illustrate for us adapting and learning from mistakes where you've seen resilience shine brightly in a mission worker?
I think back to my own journey in missions. There was, as I mentioned earlier, a really discouraging time in my time of mission leadership when I was in Far East Russia. And yet I learned some really important things that helped me to prepare for the next stage of ministry. And I'm glad I went through that now because it helped me to develop some foundations for the training ministry that God put me into after that. In fact, that whole episode on success came out of the really discouraging time that I went through in Russia.
Oh, praise the Lord for the good fruit that he brought from that and the resilience that he graced you with. You know, implied in this was, you know, there were some significant changes along your missionary career, Ken. Ken and Bertha first lived in Asia and they learned a language there. Then they were asked to move to a different country or different part of Asia and Eurasia, we call it, learn another language, serve in another way. How does this idea of resilience integrate with this idea of calling and ministry assignments, Ken? How does it integrate?
The hard times in our lives give us an opportunity to learn our strengths and our weaknesses. And that additional information about ourselves helps to refine our call. And sometimes the hard times are actually God's way of redirecting us. This is, again, what you've been saying, Mags, that we need discernment to help us figure out, is God asking us to hang in there and just keep on plugging through this? Or is he saying, this has been part of your journey, but it has been preparation for the next phase. And the next phase might actually be in a different location, and it might be in a different type of ministry. I have found the book, and we're going to probably talk about some resources later on, but one of the really helpful books that I have found in this area has been Tony Stultfus's book, The Calling Journey. And as I read through it, it really helped me to understand that the low points in my life and ministry were actually God's workshop for preparing me for the next phase of ministry. And those times when I felt like God had kind of put me aside were actually the times where he was saying, okay, Ken, we're not going to focus on the outward ministry at this point. We're going to focus on the inward. We're going to focus on you and preparing you for the next stage. And recognizing this was God's way of working with people in the scriptures and is also continues to be his way of working now was tremendously encouraging for me.
Well, I hope if you are a missionary worker somewhere wrestling with difficult times that you will take hope and encouragement from what Ken has just said. Ken and Bertha are faithful long-term veterans who have experienced this and have walked through in some cases to the other side and been able to look back and seen some fruit from that. And we pray that the Lord will encourage your heart with these things. And that if you are facing one of those hard times, that you will take courage in the purposes of God for you in these days and not lose heart, but cling, hold fast, and walk closely with Jesus and with your community as you go. I appreciate you sharing generously from your own story, Ken. May it be encouragement to others. You mentioned resources, and Ken, as I said before, is a reader. If we asked Ken about books, he would have a list. So, Ken, I guess, it might be a book or other resources. If someone wanted to think more along these lines, what would you recommend to us?
Well, I would definitely recommend Tony Stultfus's book. I've mentioned that, The Calling Journey, Mapping the Stages of a Leader's Life Call. Another book that I have found tremendously helpful and encouraging is Gordon MacDonald's book, A Resilient Life. You can move ahead no matter what.
That is a book that our executive team went through together, mentored by Stuart Lightbody, who just took us as a group of leaders through that book and highly recommend it as well. Ken, sometimes it's helpful to reach out and talk to someone that's got experience on these things. I know that you're open to that. If our listeners would like to reach out to you, how could they best do that?
They can reach me by email, kgunther@send.org, or just by going to the Send You blog and clicking on Contact Us, and I'll be glad to interact with them.
Super. Thank you. Well, many of our listeners know this is a familiar question that I ask toward the end of each interview, Ken. If you have the opportunity to stand in front of a missions committee, the folks who are serving from their home church, and they want to do a great job of global missions, and the pastor is there as well, what would you like to say to that group?
I would like to say that resilience is a gift of grace. And our greatest threat to our resilience is our own self-reliance. We take our eyes off Jesus and focus on our own resources, and we need great resources. But if we rely on them, this will do us in. Our resilience needs to be grounded and sourced in our relationship with Jesus. And so pray for your missionaries. Pray that they will be resilient. A prayer that I say frequently, almost daily, is found in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 2. Lord, be gracious to us. We long for you. Be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. I pray that for myself. I pray that for my kids. I pray that for others as well, that God would give them the resilience that is a part of his grace.
A beautiful word. Ken, thank you again so much for joining with us. May the Lord bless you as you continue to serve the servants through Send You and many other ways. We appreciate so much you sharing from your experience and from your own story today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you to Ken for joining us for this conversation, and we hope you have found it helpful as our listeners. Megs, as we finish off this episode, what would you say is a highlight for you from this conversation?
Well, I'll just say it was a highlight to talk with Ken again. We've been friends and colleagues for a number of years. That's a nice way to say it, Maddie. But I just so appreciate the example of faithful service over many years and many places and a responsiveness to God's call on Ken and Bertha's lives. It's beautiful. Specifically to the topic, it really struck me when he said, you know, learning resilience is not theoretical. You can't learn it from a book. You can read about it. You can observe it in other people. But God develops it in us through life experience, and we need to go through those things in order to build resilience.
That's good. Yeah, not theoretical. That's a great point.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I think maybe similarly, just the reminder of God's purposes in our suffering. There are circumstances that he allows and brings into our lives for the purpose of growing us and developing us. And yeah, he also talked at the end about just the reminder that resilience is a gift of grace. And I think it's a grace because God is the one who allows us to walk through those challenges and come through them becoming more like him. So yeah, I thought that was very helpful. A good conversation, good reminder.
Oh, that's really good, Maddie. Well, we say thank you again to Ken, and thank you again to Shepherd Staff, the sponsor of today's episode. Remember, Shepherd Staff is an organization that can help a church with some of the administrative needs in missions, health insurance, retirement plans, donation processing. You can learn more about this organization at their website, ssmfi.org, ssmfi.org. Thank you, Shepherd Staff, for sponsoring today's episode. And if you're interested in being a sponsor of this episode and we can help give a shout out to your organization, you can reach out to us at info@globalmissionspodcast.com. This podcast is a part of the Global Missions Toolbox, and we hope you'll stop by the website to check out the growing collection of online resources, especially for senders. And join us again for another episode in 2 weeks when we'll continue to explore this grand adventure of being Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth.